The Browns are once again looking for a head football coach. The Haslams have experience at this. Is experience confidence building? We're going to give you some reasons to think yes and some reasons to think no. Coming up in just a couple of seconds here on Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Manigan's in for Andy. It's contest time. Win a 4-pack of tickets to the Fan Night at Cleveland State Basketball. It's coming up on Thursday, January 15th. That's next week, 7 o'clock, Wolstein Center. It's hosted by the Morning Guys. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima. How about that?
There you go.
You can get tickets at csuvikings.com/tickets. Here's how you get them. Enter the word FAST, F-A-S-T, FAST, by the end of this hour at 923thefan.com to get registered to win. I'm Phelps. He's Menigan. I was thinking about the job search, the head coach search going on again here for the Browns. And I thought, boy, they've been through this too many times. And I started to think, well, who got hired by other teams in the cycle when the Browns hired their guy?
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, this is one of those reflective type of things that you and Andy cringe about.
Oh.
You might find this interesting. And it was a little bit of a challenge. You know, AI helps now. But a little bit of a challenge to go back and dig up some of these names.
You gotta be careful with that thing. It gets stuff wrong, yeah, too. You gotta be a little careful.
Well, I know. You do. But I think this is all pretty accurate about who they hired and who they didn't. And maybe who they interviewed in the process. Getting all the interviews was a little tougher, and I didn't get them all. But the first head coach they hired was in 2013. And they hired a guy that I think just got a raw deal here. Unfortunately, I think too many of these guys got a raw deal. And the first guy to get a raw deal was Rob Chudzinski. Chud got 1 year, and he was hired to replace Pat Shurmur, who the Haslams inherited.
It felt like they were more infatuated with having Norv Turner and Ray Horton here than they were with having Rob Chudzinski here.
The other guys that got hired, and I'd agree with that.
Yeah, that's what it felt like in the moment. It was like, oh, you wanted him because of the assistants he could bring in, which is not good.
Yeah.
That's not good at all. That's like being friends with someone because they have a Sega Genesis and you have a Super Nintendo.
Nice. The other coaches that were hired, and I love the hiring cycle talk.
Yes.
Because that's actually, you know, there's seven teams looking right now. It's almost a quarter of the league. The other guys that were hired, Bruce Arians, Chip Kelly, Doug Marrone, former Syracuse coach.
Oof.
Who there was some interest here. Gus Bradley.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's a name I haven't heard in a minute.
Mark Trestman.
That's right.
Former Browns quarterback coach under Bernie.
Yes, yes. Ended up at the Bears.
And a gentleman named Andy Reid. Who left Philly and went to Kansas City. I don't think the Browns had a chance there.
That worked out.
So, you know, Chud 1 year and out. But, you know, Arians would have been nice. Reid would have been nice. Might have been able to get Arians. Bruce seemed to like it here. So
he would have been outstanding. I will not hide my affection of Bruce Arians.
Yep, me neither.
If he wanted to come back and coach, I would do it in a minute.
I'd hire him now.
Yeah, he's probably one of the only ones who's on TV right now that I'd be like, yep, give me BA.
In 2014, then, they got rid of Chud, and they hired Mike Pettine. Other coaches that were hired by other teams during that stretch, Dan Quinn.
Seattle. Wasn't great the first round. Round two ended up better.
Bill O'Brien.
That one's falling apart.
Jay Gruden. That didn't work. No,
that one's falling apart.
Mike Zimmer. And Mike, of course, working with Kevin Stefanski.
Did well for a good period of time and then ran its course.
Yeah. Jim Caldwell.
That one fell apart.
Lovie Smith.
That one.
Ken Wisenhunt.
Was that? Okay, what year was that? Was that Lovie to the Texans or was that Lovie?
2014. That would have been to the Bears.
That would have been to the Bears.
Yeah.
He was good for the Bears.
He was good for the Bears.
Yeah, he did a nice job with the Bears.
So they ended up with Pettine, and Mike lasted a couple of years. But Dan Quinn, Bill O'Brien, Jay Gruden, Mike Zimmer, Jim Caldwell, Lovie Smith, Ken Wisenhunt. So far,
Ken Wisenhunt flopped.
I don't see any glaring, huge, like, oh my God, you missed them, other than maybe Arians and Andy Reid, and I don't think you had a chance at Andy. In 2016, Hugh Jackson was hired as head coach. If you remember, Hugh was the hot coordinator out of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And former head coach of the Raiders. So he had some head coaching experience.
I wanted him. I thought he was the best hire out there.
They also, and I believe, now, I mean, I'll say, I'm in digging stuff up, I found that these guys were hired. I'm not going to put 100% on it. Sean McDermott.
Turned out to be a good hire.
Yeah, Matt Patricia. Adam Gase.
Even less good.
And Doug Marrone.
I didn't realize Doug Marrone got that many gigs.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Well, he was interviewed by the Browns.
Oh, okay.
Those are
okay,
guys
okay.
they interviewed.
Okay, okay.
These are the other guys who got hired in 2016.
Sorry.
Adam Gase. Ben McAdoo.
Ooh.
Dirk Cutter.
Ooh.
Doug Peterson. Worked for a while.
Got for a little bit.
Chip Kelly.
Ooh.
Back again. And Mike Mularkey.
It's not a good hire in that regard, but
did you miss anybody there? Maybe Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
Doug's had two runs. He's got a Super Bowl. Run that Philly special, baby.
He's got a there's a shelf life to Doug Peterson.
Yeah, but guess what? It worked for a while.
Yeah, it did. I guess, but right now I wouldn't want him. I can tell you that much.
It worked for a while. In 2018, then during the season, Greg Williams replaced Hugh. So they're looking for a coach at the end of the season. They interviewed Greg Williams, Kevin Stefanski, Josh McDaniels. Apparently, from what I found, Bruce Arians.
There's Adam always Gase, a rumbling that Bruce Arians wanted this job.
And Dan Campbell.
They interviewed Dan Campbell?
That was the word.
And I'll be darned. Okay.
The word was that they interviewed him, and he talked about being a big physical team that's going to run the ball, and they didn't find that as appealing. And so they promoted Freddie Kitchens.
That's interesting.
Freddie got the gig, but they apparently interviewed Greg Williams, Kevin Stefanski, Josh McDaniels, Bruce Arians, Adam Gase, and Dan Campbell. Other guys who got hired during that cycle. By other teams. And the Browns took Freddie Kitchens, Cliff Kingsbury, Zach Taylor in Cincinnati.
I'm still not sold on him.
Vic Fangio, Matt LaFleur.
I think the guy could coach.
Brian Flores, Adam Gase,
coach.
And Bruce Arians
NBA.
Went to Tampa. And then when they hired Kevin in 2020, according to the vast research of our crack staff,
yes, yes.
They interviewed Mike McCarthy, first guy they interviewed. He ended up in Dallas a couple of days later, though. So if they wanted McCarthy, maybe they didn't act quickly enough, or maybe they just didn't want him. Apparently, I don't know this to be sure, Josh McDaniels again. Eric Bieniemy.
I know. I remember that one.
Keep this in mind, maybe during this coaching search, Robert Saleh and Byron Leftwich, who was at the time a very highly thought of offensive coordinator.
Yes.
The other guys who got hired during this stretch, Ron Rivera, Mike McCarthy, Joe Judge, Matt Rhule. So did you miss anybody there?
No.
Hold on. I could say you could have missed on Mike McCarthy because he went 12-5 three straight years in Dallas. 12-5 was better than anything Kevin did here. Kevin won 11 twice.
Does it come with Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn?
Did Rob Jedzinski come with Norv Turner?
Yeah.
And you saw there you go.
Well, you saw how that ended up.
The
Mike McCarthy thing's bad.
I just threw a lot of names at you. The bottom line is, do you trust them to get it right? I can look at this bit of work here and tell you, I don't think they screwed up too often in passing up guys who got hired by other teams. But I can also tell you that I think they only nailed one guy, and that's Kevin.
Yeah. I can't argue with you on any of it.
Bruce Arians would have been phenomenal.
I would have hired him in a minute.
He would have been in either hire.
Yes. Yes.
Either when they hired Chud or when they hired Freddie. He would have been phenomenal.
Yes.
Dan Campbell would have just been... The statue would already be up for Dan Campbell.
I wondered if he would work here.
Oh, are you kidding? Fan base?
Well, with the fan base, yes.
He would be phenomenal.
Oh, God, yes. I wonder if the...
If he would fit with the Haslams?
With the front office and everything else in between, with all the stuff that you've read, or that I've read when it comes to that
Lions
situation.
Lions are a pretty forward-thinking organization these days.
Now, for a long time, they were not.
Exactly. But now, I said these days.
Yes, you did. But he had Brad Holmes, who was all in, and he had ownership, who was all in as well. I wonder if the Haslams and whomever would have taken over as GM at that time would have been all in that way. Like, it shocks me, because I feel like he and John Dorsey would have been two peas in a pod, you know? I feel like he and John Dorsey would have really gotten together, like gotten along with each other and saw things relatively similar.
Dan Campbell and John Dorsey?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
They'd each have a spare room in the other guy's house so that they could hang out at night.
Right. You'd think that was the case, but they passed on him.
I know.
And Dorsey was the GM at the time.
Q's in Cleveland. Q, you just heard a bunch of names. You have any faith in the ownership in the front office to get it right?
Absolutely not, Jeff. I'm sorry. I do not have any faith in the front office. You know, I think that Haslam has his hands all over this. I think, you know, like I'm gonna give you my selection, who I would pick,
okay. And
I'm gonna tell you, Jeff, like who I think actually, what I think actually is gonna happen. Okay.
I love it. Who do you have?
You know, I would. You know, the guy's still pretty young. You know, he's 56 years old. I would actually bring in Eric Bieniemy for an interview. Honestly, I would. He's a proven guy. He's an offensive mind. Two Super Bowls up under his belt with Mahomes. I think that, you know, I think he'll bring a different dynamic to the table as far as the offense is concerned, because him and Andy Reid, you know, they've been together for a long time. They run different variations off of different plays. They have, you know, he's had a ton of success with the Chiefs. That's who my pick would be. I would dust off Eric Bieniemy. I think he's Chicago's running back coach right
Correct.
Now.
Well, and Hugh, they interviewed him in 2020. So there's a little familiarity there.
Yeah. And see, that's why I say I would definitely go for Eric Bieniemy. He's a great offensive mind, and that's what we need. We need someone. We need an offensive-minded guy who's actually a football guy, not an analytic guy, actually a football guy that is actually proven. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, guys.
All right. Okay. But Bieniemy got some interviews, and
I think he got a raw deal, Jeff.
Well,
he
very well might have. I think the thought on him was that I think people found him a little crotchety and might not be able to identify with players, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't believe that, Jeff. Here's the thing. This is what I believe is going to happen, though, Jeff. I think because you got to think about it. You know, there are not too many GMs around the league that are younger than the head coach. I think we had, like I said, Andrew Berry's 37 years old. Kevin Stefanski's 46, 47. He's 10 years younger than the head coach. I think that as far as Andrew Berry, I give him this draft, but a lot of his draft picks haven't panned out. I think that Andrew Berry is good at trades, but I think during the draft, I think, man, we've needed offensive help for the longest, and we haven't had any luck picking offensive players, receivers especially. I just think that what's going to happen is, I think, you know, and this is my honest opinion, I think they're going to bump up Jim Schwartz. I think they're going to bump up Jim Schwartz and keep Reese.
Could you live with that, Q?
Huh?
Could you live with that?
You know, I can live with Schwartz stepping up, because Schwartz is a true leader of men. He's a true leader of men, and that's what Kevin Stefanski was lacking.
All right, Q. Thank you. Maybe. It's funny, because if you hear players who were here and they talk about Kevin, they'll say he was a really good leader.
Yeah.
And again, who knows? The guy's not a coach here anymore, and somebody's going to hire him.
It'll all come out in the gargantuan Zach Wickersham piece.
I would think
Seth Wickersham piece,
true.
I should say.
Do you have faith in the front office, in the ownership, to get this right, folks? There are now a couple of names out there that are really intriguing. Something Florio said I thought was really kind of fascinating, and it had to do with veteran coaches in this cycle. We'll hear that. We're going to talk about that next on Baskin and Phelps. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I am Jeff Phelps. My buddy is Dan Menigan. He's in for Andy Baskin today. Browns are looking for a head coach, as are the Baltimore Ravens, the Atlanta Falcons, the Tennessee Titans, the New York Giants, Las Vegas Raiders, and Arizona Cardinals. So seven teams. As of now, will there be more? Maybe, because at least two teams, according to reports, called the agent for John Harbaugh, whose last name is Harlan. I believe his brother would be Kevin, and his father would be former Packer executive, Mr. Harlan. I believe so.
Might be the case.
I think it is the case, but
I trust you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go 90% on that one. Regardless of who he is, he got calls from two teams that currently have head coaches, so there could be more coaches involved in this cycle. And it's interesting to see the way that this is all playing out. Mike Florio had something to say about the veteran coaches, and we're gonna dig into that in just a minute here. But a couple of things, I love reading all this stuff and seeing what people think. Nick Brinkerhoff of USA Today wrote a story yesterday after the Harbaugh news came out. Okay? NFL coaching carousel. I love the carousel. Predicting where John Harbaugh, Kevin Stefanski land in 2026. Shall we?
Oh, what the hey. May as well hop on.
All right. Well, here you go.
Take your Dramamine.
We'll get it started then. You ready? First, the Arizona Cardinals. And this is, of course, according to the USA Today.
Yeah.
Hiring Clint Kubiak, the Seahawks offensive coordinator.
So I like Clint Kubiak, the offense. Yeah. Like, this is going to sound weird. I like the offense that he calls. I like what he does. He was really good with the Saints. He's been awesome with the Seahawks. He worked under Kevin Stefanski when it comes to the Vikings. Not that that should lead either direction. And, of course, his dad is Gary Kubiak, who won a Super Bowl and, you know, had a phenomenal offense for a good period of time down in Houston as well.
And one of the great backup quarterbacks in NFL history.
Right. I say all of those things to add in this part of it. If you have ever heard Clint Kubiak speak, he is not exactly the most boisterous, rah-rah guy you will ever have in your place.
So you'd be doing Coach Kube if you got hired here?
Yeah, except he might make Kevin Stefanski seem entertaining.
Nice.
And he's a really good guy. He's just not that. Yeah,
the folks in Arizona don't need that. They have weather.
Yeah.
They don't need entertaining coaches.
It's one of the big concerns with Clint Kubiak.
They're spoiled with Bruce Arians.
The head coach.
The Atlanta Falcons, according to USA Today, predictions. Where do these coaches land? The Atlanta Falcons hire Kevin Stefanski. Said the Falcons have arguably the most attractive head coach opening in the league. I would think it's up there. That and the Giants are good ones. Ravens could be a good one. I think those are the top three.
Depends how you feel on Penix. Depends how you feel. The offensive line, and apparently their offensive line coach wants to stay, and he's one of the good ones, and he doesn't want to go anywhere. So you might be in good shape in that regard. You got Drake London. You've got some pieces in between. You need some help in the secondary. You probably need to beef that defense up a bit with the Falcons as well. I don't know what their cap situation is, though.
What would you think of Kevin in Atlanta, where they're also looking for a general manager?
Kevin Stefanski plus Bijan Robinson and Drake London could be a really good time.
Exactly. And it might. Kirk Cousins is there. He just restructured. Thought is that he probably won't be there. But if Kevin were to go there, hey, I'll take Kirk for a year. Let's go. We don't know that Penix is going to be healthy enough to play.
Yeah, that's the bummer of Michael Penix.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, all the injuries seem to be catching up with him slowly but surely. I loved watching him at Washington. I don't know if I would want Michael Penix to be my quarterback per se, but I like having him in the league where I can turn on a Thursday night game and go, oh, this will be a roller coaster. Let's go.
Nick Brinkerhoff, USA Today, NFL coaching carousel, predicting where these guys are going to land. He has Kevin going to Atlanta. The next one up on the list, Baltimore Ravens hiring Jesse Minter.
I love that hire.
Yeah, the defensive coordinator of the Chargers.
But the question is, would you really want to fire Harbaugh to bring in a Harbaugh disciple?
That to me is a little convoluted.
Now, I don't think he ever worked for John. He worked for Jim for a long period of time, yeah, going back to Michigan. I don't know if he ever worked for John. I don't know that one for sure.
Well, I'm sure they know each other. And
word gets out.
Do I want to go and fill in for John? Who knows? I'm going to save the Browns for last. He has the Las Vegas Raiders hiring Brian Flores from the Minnesota Vikings, their defensive coordinator, former head coach of the Miami Dolphins, and suing the National Football League. Not that that matters. Raiders couldn't care less.
So I like Brian Flores. I think he's a really good defensive mind. He's done a great job everywhere that he has been. the Dolphins thing got hairy at the tail end of it. I'm always scared of Belichick guys.
You know why? Very few of them have had success.
Right, because they're not Bill. Like, Vrabel is the one that you could circle and say this worked.
Yeah.
Everybody else who has left the Belichick tree has been just blah everywhere they've gone because they don't have the Bill Belichick resume and they don't have the Bill Belichick ability to really motivate these guys and get the best out of them. That's my only fear when it comes to Brian Flores.
We have three other jobs here.
But if they hired him, I'd be in.
And they're critical. They have the Tennessee Titans, USA Today, hiring Mike McCarthy.
Enjoy.
Former Dallas Cowboys head coach Dan Menigan, a man who hates Mike McCarthy.
It's not personal.
Yes, it is.
It's business.
No, it is.
It's not personal. It's business.
I don't know what he ever did to you. Maybe you don't like Chucky Pittsburgh guys. I don't know. Chunky Pittsburgh guys. I don't know.
I thank him for the Super Bowl for the Packers. I thank him for the joy that came with it. I just believe the game has passed him by.
Okay. Well, he's about the same age as John Harbaugh.
Yeah, but one of them's been in the league a little bit longer and has had more success.
McCarthy's been in the league longer. I believe.
Employed in the league, but currently employed when it comes to Jim Harbaugh.
There is that.
Yeah.
I think they both had, 20-some year careers coaching in the NFL. So good for them. Tennessee hiring Mike McCarthy. So there are two gigs left here, the New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns. And USA Today thinks the Giants will hire Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley.
That name's been all over the place. That would be a guy that would buck the trends because he also was previously the head coach at Boston College for a good period of time. Mm-hmm. Did a good job there with probably his best star talent at Boston College was Zay Flowers. That's probably the only guy that a lot of people have heard of who was at BC while Jeff Hafley was there, and he was able to win there. He's a good defensive coach. The Browns should talk to him.
And he has the Cleveland Browns.
And runs a 4-3 defense that's relatively similar to what Jim Schwartz does.
USA Today, where do these coaches land? What do teams hire? He has the Cleveland Browns hiring John Harbaugh.
If they do that, it is a slam dunk. That is the 4-for-4 with 3 home runs. I went 7 innings and struck out 10. That's what that performance is. That's beautiful.
Brinkerhoff.
Sign me up.
In his little summation says, Harbaugh, top storyline now with all the coaches, which we know. He said the Browns aren't the most attractive job. He said, and this is where we started the show, he said the Browns offer a couple of things other teams don't. And the big one is location. Harbaugh, an Ohio native, played college football at Miami, grew up a Browns fan. He said perhaps there's an appetite for him to return to his roots without having to travel too far.
Well,
and he said
proximity is a heck of a
thing.
He
said Jim did that when he went to Michigan and coached his alma mater. You know,
that's a good point. That was sentimental.
Jim went back because it was his alma mater and it seemed like the thing to do.
Now, I mean, he also was compensated throughout the entire thing, which helps the cause.
I mean, there's cash involved.
Jimmy Haslam has not been known for, being cheap when it's come to anything. So I think
USA Today sums it up. Says Haslam could boost the franchise's perception by backing up the Brinks truck and giving Harbaugh everything he wants and more.
I'm in. Even if you want to tell me that there's a ceiling you hit with John Harbaugh, even if you're like, they've came up short enough times and there's a ceiling there. Yeah, get me to the ceiling and then I'll worry about it from there because the ceiling is a lot higher than where I am right now. Like, that's my whole thing. Like, I'm even good with these guys. If you want to look at it, you go, there is a ceiling that comes with it. Great. I'll take the ceiling.
Says the Browns are rebuilding. Nobody knows if Harbaugh would be willing to accept that. But he said this, building the Browns into a contender could be enticing for someone like Harbaugh, who, of course, already has a Super Bowl ring.
Statue the size of Terminal Tower. It'll be one of the great wonders of the modern world.
Hey, Ma, look what I did in your town.
Yeah. See, you can see me from an airplane. I'm right there. They got that blinking light on top because the damn thing's so tall.
I think that's real interesting, though. So, again, USA Today making some predictions yesterday after the Harbaugh news. Where these guys are going to land? Arizona, Clint Kubiak. Atlanta, Kevin Stefanski. Baltimore, Jesse Minter from the Chargers. The Browns getting John Harbaugh. Raiders getting Brian Flores from Minnesota, Giants Jeff Hafley from the Packers, and Tennessee hiring Mike McCarthy.
Interesting. Interesting. I think a lot of those make sense.
I don't know the answer to this. I wonder how much other factors in a profession where your opportunities are limited. I mean, there are only 32 of these gigs. I wonder what leads to a guy maybe being picky choosy about something. You know, will other factors affect decisions? It might with a guy like McCarthy. I would think it would with a guy like Harbaugh. I don't think it would with a guy like Jeff Hafley.
I think it also falls back to stability and if you're happy with where you are as well.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm getting
at. Ben Johnson intrigued me on a different way to look at this than a lot of other people have, and I wonder if he's the exception to the rule or if he might be the new rule.
Because he passed up gigs to stay in Detroit as offensive coordinator waiting for the right job.
Right. Yeah. And he looked at, like, he went and interviewed with Vegas and looked Vegas dead in the eye and was like, I don't know if I could win with these guys here. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, he did that, and that's one of the few, because I've always thought the same way you did, which is like, hey, there's 32 of these things. You either say yes to what's available, or you're toast. Ben Johnson changed that narrative.
See, Ben Johnson's the rare coordinator who did that. You know, most of the time, I would think a guy who does that is a guy like Harbaugh or McCarthy. Who, hey, look, I've been doing this a long time. I don't need your nonsense.
Right.
I'll wait for somebody else's nonsense, or I'll kick back and, you know, be with Pat McAfee once in a while.
Right.
Pick up some checks, some football, have some fun.
The Bruce Arians, where I'm sitting there smoking my cigar, drinking my bourbon in a Hawaiian shirt, and pop out every so often and give my thoughts. It's a good way to live life. It's a very good way to live life. I wonder if there's going to be another situation like that. Like, I wonder if, like, let's say Jesse Minter. I'm just picking that name out of the sky. I don't know this for a case.
A really, really hot coordinator candidate, Chargers.
Chargers. Defensive coordinator right now, was very good when he was at Michigan. I wonder if that's a guy who's looking at his defense and going, we have a really good defense. Justin Herbert's young. My head coach isn't going anywhere.
I have a Marion Hampton in the backfield. He'll help my defense because, you know, they can eat the clock.
Let's talk to some of these people. And if these gigs don't line up with what I want, forget it. I'll head back to L.A. And life will be good, and I'll hop back in the pool next year.
And, you know, assistant coaches now, they get a price tag.
Yeah.
You know, the coordinators make a lot of money.
Well, yeah, because you got to keep them away from colleges now. Well,
and now you certainly do. So maybe that comes into play a little bit. Dan put together a little list. I love that. Maybe I'm rubbing off on Menigan. Menigan put together a little list. I'm going to disagree with some of it, but he put together tiers for the Browns, and not tiers like, you know, you're crying because you just went 5-12 after going 3-14, but tiers as in levels of guys he would hire and guys he wouldn't for the Browns. They're coming up next. I'll disagree with a few right here on Baskin and Phelps. That was Mike Florio, and he was on our show earlier today at 11:20. Mike from Pro Football Talk from NBC Sports. And I think that's a really interesting thought. I'm Jeff Phelps, Dan Menigan in for Andy today. Coaches without head coaching experience, difficult cycle for them. I can see that. Because some of the teams that are looking for coaches right now, I think they think they're ready to go.
I think the reason you're saying that, too, is because there's no offensive-minded head coach that you're looking at. I think that's the other part of it. If you had an offensive-minded head coach who was lighting the world on fire off of some team that you could steal, I think we would be having a different conversation. It's just, this isn't that hiring cycle. The McVay tree has been so plucked over. It's unbelievable. The Shanahan tree has been plucked over. I don't know who you would take from, you know, Green Bay. I mean, okay, you could try one of those guys again, but that always seems to flop. You know, I just don't know who you're going after. I mean, Matt Nagy's out there, but
there's supposedly rumblings that Matt Nagy is, I wouldn't say leading candidate, but a really hot candidate for Tennessee because he worked with their GM in Kansas City for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that relationship between coach and GM that, hey, let's do this together. And there's a lot to be said for that. If you missed that Florio interview or any other moments of our show, use the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. It's powered by Integrated Restoration. your local experts in water, fire, and storm disaster restoration. I think Florio's point's really good. If I'm the Falcons, I'd be looking for a head coach who has experience. I honestly think, I think Kevin's a perfect fit in Atlanta. I think he'd be a good fit in New York. I think Atlanta would be better for him. And I say that only because of this. And this might not even be a fair thing to say. Kevin's a nice guy. I wonder if he wants to deal with New York. Because New York can be a not nice place to coach a pro sports franchise. Then again, if you win, my God, there's the statue.
Yeah, that's true.
You're anything that happens in New York, good or bad, gets amplified. So if you're okay in New York, boy, people are going to think you're really good.
Our social media badges are powered by Shape and Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads or to me at The Sports Feller on Twitter if you so desire. I've gotten a couple tweets on this, and it will make me laugh until the end of, can you imagine the New York media asking the pointed questions that they do and Kevin going, yeah, we got to review the film, and you know I got to coach better, and we got to put these guys in. Like, could you see the New York media sitting there going like, oh my God, this guy, he won't stop.
Yeah.
I can hear every single gravelly voice New Yorker on WFAN losing their minds. Over that whole thing, it would be phenomenal.
That goes back to what I talked about earlier in the show, though.
This guy doesn't say anything. I don't know what the hell they're doing with him.
Exactly right. That goes back to what I said earlier. There are other factors if you have choices that maybe you don't want to deal with. You could go to Atlanta, and the folks in Atlanta would say, Falcons did what? Oh, that's awesome. Boy, did you see Georgia Tech last night?
Mm-hmm.
They were really good. I love the Braves. Braves are great.
There's so much going on in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And
Atlanta United cranking, you know, too.
I just think Kevin would do a nice job there. Tennessee, I think, is another one of those spots. Now, the ownership there is Mike Vrabel might tell Kevin, run far, run fast. But, you know, if it doesn't go real well in Tennessee, it's like, oh, that's too bad. Hey, did you see Blake Shelton open up a new bar?
Hey, they're getting a new stadium down there. Cam Ward and Kevin Stefanski would get interesting, though.
I'll tell you what, that Reba McEntire, she just keeps cranking it out, doesn't she?
Dolly's doing what?
I don't know. I think Luke Combs is taking over.
It's also 100 years of the Grand Ole Opry, which is pretty cool, too.
You put together something that's going to irritate me.
Yes, I did. So I sat last night, and I said, I want to go through all the coaches, and I want to throw them in tiers because I hate doing rankings because rankings means you're locked into these things. I like tiers because it's easier to bunch these guys together.
Very fantasy football.
And you can kind of move them all over the place where necessary. And so I came up with dumb names for them. And so here is the Dan Menigan head coaching tier list for the Cleveland Browns. Our first category, oh dear God, no. That is the name of the category. That consists
of... Can I guess who the first name is?
Sure.
Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, that is the first name that I have listed here. It falls under, oh, dear God, no. John Gruden is also on this list. Josh McDaniels makes his way on here as well. I don't want anybody from the Belichick tree, and I don't think McDaniels... Supposedly, he learned it the first time at Denver. Then he went to the Raiders and seemed to not learn how to work with people better.
You know, it could be a great story. Local guy comes back home.
Yeah, dear God, no. Matt Nagy also falls into that category, just how Chicago went was such a mess. And plus, I don't totally know what he does with Kansas City besides stand next to Andy Reid. He's not calling the plays as the offensive coordinator. He's just kind of helping along the way. And I don't know how much that help is, you know, hey, you're a good hang. Why don't you come, you know, hang with us?
You know, Matt Nagy did a nice job that, I think it was his first year in Chicago.
Right. And then
he had a young number two overall pick named Mitch Trubisky at quarterback.
Right. It wasn't the offense that caused him to do that.
What
well.
Did Andrew Berry say? External veteran options at quarterback.
It wasn't the offense that did well for the Bears. Trust me. The defense won that one, and the offense just kind of puttered.
Not saying it was. I'm just throwing things out there for you.
Just kind of puttered along.
Just trying to help, you know, enhance your tiers.
I would describe Matt Nagy's offense as puttering. Jason Garrett is on there. You could talk me into Jason Garrett into moving to a different category.
Local guy coming home?
I'm good on Jason Garrett, and the definitive one is Deion Sanders. I do not want Coach Prime here due to the fact that I worry about his health. His health is my number one thing. I just don't think Coach Prime is ready for the NFL. I think that's what we could throw out.
I would add this. If by chance Shador doesn't develop, Deion going to bench his kid?
That's also valid. The next tier. I don't love it, but I can talk myself into it.
That the tier is not the whole tier. This is the name of the tier.
Yes, the next tier. I don't love it, but I can talk myself into it.
Okay.
Cliff Kingsbury, Tommy Rees, who is now
interviewing today.
Tomorrow. Thursday.
With Jim Schwartz,
who is also a part of the I don't love it, but I can talk myself into it tier is Jim Schwartz.
Wonder if they're going to eat lunch together in the bullpen. Get ready for it.
Joe Brady is another one that's on there, the offensive coordinator of the Bills. Yeah. Again, I'm running away from anyone who has anything to do with Josh Allen because I think Josh Allen can kind of spackle up some of your flaws. The other one is Vance Joseph, who was previously a head coach in this cycle. He's the defensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos. And it's just
was the head coach in Denver.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird, by the way?
That's got to be an odd relationship. Yeah. But everybody blew out of there. They got rid of everybody in there. Vance Joseph makes that list as well. I'm not head over heels on that one, but I think I could talk myself into it. All right, the next tier.
You know the funny thing about all these coaches? We say all these things. God knows who goes somewhere and becomes a good NFL head coach.
Oh, God, this is such a crapshoot.
Yeah, I know. It really is.
I probably would have had Dan Campbell on Oh, God, No. So that tells you all you need to know right there. The next tier. This guy makes some sense. I like it. That's the name of the tier. This guy makes some sense. I like it.
I like your little names. They're cute.
Todd Monken is on this list. Lou
Anarumo. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Todd Monken. I like what he did in Georgia, and I like what he did with the Ravens offense.
Okay.
I think that's an interesting guy to bring in.
It's such a great job. He got John Harbaugh fired.
Because, you know why? Because John Harbaugh didn't want to fire him, according to sources.
Yeah, well.
Which tells you something. If smart people don't want to move on from smart people, it should tell you who's smart. Lou Anarumo is on that list, too, the defensive coordinator.
Former Bengal and now Colts.
Yeah, of the Colts. He's an interesting guy. He can kind of morph into whatever he needs to be, and he's pretty good at having one hand tied behind his back. He does a pretty good job at it.
Tough to hold a clipboard that way.
Yeah, he does a good job of that one. Brian Flores is on this list as well. Jeff Hafley.
There he goes.
The defensive coordinator of the Packers on this list. Clint Kubiak is on there as well. The Packers OC, Adam Sturdivant, is on there. That one makes some sense. I don't love that. I think I would move that one to I don't love it now that I'm looking at it now. Chris Shula, the defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams.
Who worked at John Carroll and dad is David and grandpa Don.
Yes. That one,
I wonder how tarnished, if at all, the Shula family is because of what happened to Dave in Cincinnati.
That could be.
I mean, last I heard, Dave was coaching wide receivers at Dartmouth.
I haven't looked.
His alma mater.
I haven't looked to see what he's doing.
Yeah,
I can't say either direction, but
he was running Shula Steakhouse for a while.
That defense
higher up in it
is really good with the Rams, and he's a big brain behind.
They're
it.
Really good.
Speaking of defensive guys, Steve Spagnuolo is on that list. I would hire Steve
from the Chiefs.
I would hire Spags in a minute. Spags plus Myles Garrett in this defense. Woo!
Can we bring Chris Jones with him?
Let's have some fun. You can be. You got two DTs that are pretty damn good.
Yeah, well, I want three.
Well, you can't play all three of them, Jeff.
Yes, you can. Spags will figure it out.
Love Spags. The other one that's on this list is a name that I don't think a lot of people have heard of, is Declan Doyle. So Declan Doyle, for those of you who do not know.
Didn't he hang out with Austin Powers?
He is 30. He is the offensive.
Come on, that was funny.
That was funny. He was the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears.
Chicago. I love the way you say Chicago.
And so he's Ben Johnson's guy below him. He worked with Sean Payton before
he's 30.
That. He's 30. Now, this would be your like, all right, I'm getting my McVay.
I'm hiring Sean McVay. Yeah.
Right. I want my guy.
I'm hiring Mike Tomlin.
Who's like McVay. He was with the New Orleans Saints as an offensive assistant, then found his way to the Broncos. So he's worked with Sean Payton for a lot of years, since 2019 to 2024, and then Ben Johnson poached him to be the OC with the Bears. Now, again, that's one of those where you kind of have that name circled as somebody interesting.
If a guy like Johnson hires you to come in and be his offensive coordinator.
Tells you something.
It should tell you something.
Tells you something.
Yeah.
That's why I got that name on there.
Well, Dan, I so enjoyed your tears.
Oh, no. There's one more.
Great.
The last one.
That's awesome.
This is my dude. Let's roll. Robert Saleh, Jesse Minter, Anthony Weaver. Those are the three there. Three defensive guys. And then one guy that stands above else, which is, oh my God, I can't believe he's available. And get him now. John Harbaugh. So that's the tiers that I have.
Since you're sitting in here and you can't play the applause, I'll just go ahead and applaud for you.
I'm shocked you're doing that after how I once again trashed Mike McCarthy in front
of
you.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was interesting that when I mentioned Mike McCarthy to Chris Rose, Chris seemed interested and seemed to tell us to pay attention. Didn't you think?
Yeah.
And he said, I mentioned McCarthy some time ago.
Yeah. I just don't think that's an inspired hire.
I know you don't.
I just don't see it.
I will tell you, you are slightly tarnished on Mike McCarthy because you watched so closely in Green Bay as the Packers are one of your two favorite teams. I look at what he did in Dallas, and you know, he had a rougher first year losing record, then went 12-5 three straight years, couldn't get deep into the playoffs, and then had a rough last year and was done. I wonder, you know, are the 3-12-5 years more indicative than the first and the last year? I don't know the answer to that. Our Browns beat reporter is Daryl Ryder. Daryl's taking a break from stalking out Berea. I just saw him walk down the hallway. I think we'll have him stop in and join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps.